her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk
about we have reached that portion of the schedule, Chewy. Of course, we're all excited about the NFL draft, and that is coming up next week. Some of us going to be on site up there at Lambeau Field. But what I am talking about, because this is always the time of year as well, where I start doing some fundraising for our friends at the Mac Fund. Seventh season in which I have done this, the Ringer events, 100 holes of golf, and I'm back fundraising again. Myself, Stephen Watson, and Greg Matzik all combining, trying to raise as much money as we can before the Thursday after the draft, which is May 1st. That's when we are going to be playing. But a lot of cool things going on with the Mac Fund and a lot of support of some pretty cool partners that we have here on ESPN Milwaukee. Once again, if you donate, which you can do by simply just texting GOLF, G-O-L-F, to our Carbless Talk and text line, 800-990-3776. You get a link to the page. If you donate $25 or more, you get entered into our drawing for pizza for a year from our friends at Palermo's Pizza, which comes with a pizza oven, some other swag from our friends at Palermo's. So that was, we had three winners last year, three more winners this year. Maybe you are into golf, Jew, and I know you're trying to get back into the game. Maybe you're looking for a new driver. Head over to our friends at X Golf in Brookfield, and they have a raffle going on right now. $20 gets you in for a raffle for a new QI35 driver from TaylorMade. And of course, if you just want to donate out of the kindness of your heart, I'm sure we'll come up with some gimmicks over the course of the next couple of days, whether it's here, whether it's me being on KBN, whether it's me being on the Homer Hour. Like, Josh, because of this, because of fundraising for the Mac Fund in the fight against childhood cancer, Joshy has a tattoo. We don't talk about this enough, by the way, that Joshy has a tattoo of Homer's face on his leg.
And why was that? What was the bet?
Well, it wasn't necessarily a bet, Josh. It was just in the spirit of giving.
Yeah, it was Skelzone Brust era. What had happened was basically we were figuring out ways for us to auction off options. It was $1,000 was what ended up giving me the Skelzone Brust Grateful Dead tattoo that I have. And then Homer kind of pulled a fast one and said, I'd donate $1,000 if you get my face tattooed or get me tattooed on you. Not realizing he was going to donate that $1,000 regardless. So now I have a Homer tattoo that says, oh, baby, on it, on my leg.
Does that detract for the value of Josh's body?
I mean,
if you got Aaron Rodgers or sure. You got Jordan Love,
sure,
his body would be worth a little more.
Yeah, like when a baseball gets autographed by someone like Aaron Judge, the value goes up. But so what you're saying is Homer's face devalues the Josh's body?
My body's a fraud. My body is a total fraud. But I could probably sell it for good because it looks good on the outside, but on the inside, not good. Just not good.
A lot of damaged goods on the inside.
I think seeing as I'm wearing a High Life hat right now, those and the 15 years of solid consumption of those will be more than any Homer face on my leg.
that's going to be the damaging part.
that's going to be the real holdup.
Yes.
How long does it take you? How long does it take you to do that round?
It usually takes all day. The pace that we try to do is an hour per nine, which it's pretty
moving.
Easy. Yeah. It's honestly, though, once you get going, it's kind of like easy to keep that pace because it's just two of you and you each have your own cart.
Yeah.
You know, so you can kind of, you don't have to wait for anybody. You just drive into your golf ball, just have to worry about that. And about the only thing I'm really keeping track of, you know, like if it's going to be a double bogey, I'm not putting it out. About the only thing I will, because
it's good.
Yeah. Because a lot of people will. So about the only thing I'll take serious is if I have a birdie putt. Because a lot of people will donate per birdie. Like, oh, I'll donate X amount of dollars per birdie that you make over the course of the 100 holes. So I try to take those. But after that, you're just out there having fun. And I'm glad.
Do you get sick of golf, though, after playing those 100s? You're like, man, I got to take a week off.
No, I do get. So at Brown Deer when I was a part of the Brown Deer Men's Club, and I guess I still am. But when I was in the and I participated in a lot of their events, they always had, it seemed like, an event at the Bog the Saturday after I played the 100 holes. And no offense to our friends at the Bog, because they're fantastic. They donate the golf course for a day. I love the golf course. But after going around for 100 holes, I'm like, I don't need to see the bog for a little bit of time.
For a little while. Yeah. Until we play in the ESPN.
Yeah, ESPN Milwaukee Open. Again, we do a lot of stuff out there that I love. But like any golf course, going around that many times in a golf cart, it's just like, okay, I don't need to hit this par three
shot.
Well,
while we're on the subject of golf.
Okay.
You know, me and Ange are trying to get back into it. Because she likes playing, but we don't like to play a ton.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a course here right next to our house that we are going to join socially, right?
Okay.
So I belong to a couple throughout my tenure in Wisconsin, a couple, you know, different clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to start with a social membership, see if we like it, see if we like, you know.
The membership, the people, yeah.
So in Wisconsin, with a social membership, typically you can use the pool.
Yep.
You can use the dining privileges.
Mm-hmm.
You can use the workout. You can use the tennis courts, pickleball. And you get, I think the last club I said, I think you get 5 rounds a month, but you have to pay for an individual as a social, which is fine.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to pay whatever the guest fee would be, you would have to pay for it. Yes.
So we go over to this club here. Our friends who are members brought us over there. And you know, we have lunch there, and then we go meet with the person that's in charge of the memberships. And they're like, oh, what do you get for a social membership? They're like, oh, you get the dining.
The ability to dine here.
That's it.
You paid just so you can eat there?
Yes. I'm like, so you want me to pay $6,000 and a yearly minimum of $1,200 just to eat here, and that's all I get?
Yeah,
like,
that's...
Yeah. I'm like, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of in my life.
That has to be literally the best restaurant you've ever been to. If that's all you get.
I mean, it was fine.
Yeah.
I'll take a word out of your book. It was fine. But
sure.
I'm like, are you kidding me? In Wisconsin, you get all... They're like, no. And then you have to be put on a waiting list to get to become a full member.
Ugh.
And this course, Gabe, this course is okay.
Yeah.
By Wisconsin standards, it's okay.
It's fine.
You know what the downstroke was for it?
I'm guessing it's going to be a number that's going to make me jump. I will say this. I'm going to say it's less than the estimate you got for the electrical work around the palm.
Yes.
Less than that.
But regardless, it's an okay course. $50,000. Non-refundable. I'm like...
What?
I'm like,
$50,000?
Yeah.
So, American?
American. So it's just like, jeez, what a ripoff. Makes you appreciate Wisconsin a little bit more.
Man. I mean.
So it looks like Top Golf. Here we
all
come.
All right, Top Golf. That's more your speed anyway.
That's
what you want to do. You want to be a little rowdy. You want to be kind of hooligan-esque.
Yeah.
Like,
there's an arrogance down here that kind of annoys me a little bit, though. You know what I think it is?
What is it?
It's the East Coast influence.
Because a lot of East Coast people move down to Florida?
Yeah, yeah.
So they just think they're better than everyone?
They just move with a kind of... Yeah.
How come you don't have that? Because you grew up on the East Coast. Did you used to have that? And then being in Wisconsin for so long just kind of got it out of
you? Possibly. Maybe I was exposed to enough of it to realize that they're kind of jags. But there's things I like. I like the privacy that they bring with them, you know.
Sure.
Because they all keep to themselves, but kind of knobby, you know. So
Matt,
it's like golf's on hold for now.
That's a shame. Well, look, you come up here, pal. I'll take you out to Wisconsin Club.
Okay.
We'll have a good time.
Buddy.
Matt Racine chimes in on the Carbless Talking text line, 800-990-3776. Hopefully no one steals the pizza oven this year at the office, which, again, is a great callback from Matt. Because last year when we did this, we did the same thing with the Mac Fund and Palermo's. Like, they gave us the pizza ovens, And people had to come here and pick up their prizes after, you know, we drew the winner, which we're going to do in a couple of weeks after we're done with playing the golf on May 1st, because we want to give everybody an opportunity to donate. And you can simply by just texting golf, G-O-L-F, to 800-990-3776. But we learned our lesson this year, Chew.
No, but Matt needs to realize we actually like the fact that they stole the pizza oven because it gives us content.
It does give us content. But
it
also
gives us something to talk about.
But also, like, it made me nervous because you don't care. But it made me nervous as a person who was responsible for said pizza oven and delivering pizza. Like, I didn't want to have to go to Palermo's and go, hey, our teammates stole a pizza oven. Can we get another one so we can fulfill this contest? So we learned our lesson this year. The people, whoever wins at the end of this thing in a couple of weeks, whoever wins those pizza ovens, we have arranged it that they can go pick it up at Palermo's.
Do we know who did it?
We don't. Because, again,
I think we need a cop at the station.
Well, they installed a camera now in our cafe. It scares Joshy anytime he brings a lunch. Yeah. He goes to put it in the refrigerator, and, like, it's dark, and all of a sudden a light shines down because we've had things just disappear from that cafe between the pizza oven, we've had gift cards disappear, although that was from somebody's desk. And then we had the Kringle. Remember the great Kringle caper
around the holidays? 13 of them or something like that.
So we've had a lot of incidents, which led to, you know, a camera now being installed. So we learned from our lesson. We're not storing pizza ovens here. We cannot be trusted. We have shown that we cannot be trusted. So we're just going to keep them with our friends at Palermo's.
Okay. That's fair.
I mean, I don't want to have to go through that again. It seemed like a terrible time. A terrible idea.
No. Where's the monitor?
For that, I have no idea.
You mean the camera?
Well, the monitor for the camera.
Oh, yeah. I have no idea.
Yeah, that I don't know.
Yeah, I just know it flicks on if the lights aren't on when I get here around 5 in the morning, between 5 and 5:30 typically. And yeah, it's a giant spotlight to illuminate any capers that are being attempted.
You guys would make terrible PIs. Horrible. That stuff doesn't intrigue you at all? Maybe it's because I got more time than you.
Yeah, I mean, does it intrigue me? Yes. Do I want to go around this office and start questioning teammates about whether or not they stole a pizza oven? No, I do not want to do that.
What you do is you just keep emptying the fridge with ice cubes. Just empty. So there's no ice. Eventually, someone's going to come up to you and say, hey, why are you dumping the ice cubes out of bingo?
Bingo
what?
What
I'm saying? You're going to know who has the monitor because they're watching you throw away the ice cubes when people want ice cubes.
Okay. Oh, okay. So you were on who has access to the monitor.
Yes.
That's where you were going. Okay. I thought you were talking about trying to figure out who stole the things. That was not the intriguing part to you. The person who's watching the people stealing the things is the answer that's intriguing to you.
I mean, you know why,
that's
Gabe?
On me. That's on
you
me.
Know
I
why?
Misunderstood.
Because I grew up with the saying, the eye in the sky
doesn't lie.
I mean, we know who it is. There's one person runs all of IT across the building.
Could I make the guess in like three people? Probably. Probably. I wouldn't need to empty
the
ice.
The specifics
cubes
of who it was seemed unimportant to me.
Which is why I didn't
to you.
Think that's
to
what
you.
We were, again, that's why yes. I didn't think that's what we were talking about.
Right.
I thought we were talking about the people who were stealing the things.
I'm much more interested in the thief.
Yeah. Oh, man. Again, thank you to everybody who's donated in the past. And just again, with the Mac Fund, all the money goes directly towards research for children's and childhood cancers with the Mac Fund. You can donate today, golf, to 800-990-3776.
Well, Gabe, I'll start it off. What should I give you? $20 a birdie?
Sure, $20
a
birdie.
Is that what people do?
Yeah,
I'll give you $20 a birdie.
All right, $20 a birdie. Chewy's
put
kicking
me down.
Off.
Mark me down.
I've got you down. Chewy's donating $20 a birdie when I play 100 holes out at the bog coming up.
What
in a couple
weeks. We should set a threshold to that. How many birdies do you typically get?
My goal is typically around 10.
10?
10?
Yeah,
fair.
Around 10.
Fair.
So
I think there should be a minimum. Like, what if you have a really bad day?
Yeah. I think the worst I've done is 6 or 7. The most I've had, I think, is 13 and
that's fair.
13 and an eagle.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So, again, right. It depends upon the day. It depends upon the weather, too. Because when it's cold, it just you hit one a little thin, then your hands go numb for a few holes. You're trying to go as fast as you can. You can't feel them. It's a little difficult. Jason Wilde, our pal, going to join us on a Dude Tuesday. Break down the latest going on with the Green and Gold coming up next. But your state, your teams, your ESPN. Not only am I talking about the MAC Fund today and everything that's great with that, I'm talking about the brand new ESPN Wisconsin app that we just launched yesterday. You can download the app today for your chance and an all-inclusive private tailgating experience during day three of the draft in Green Bay. So a couple different things. With the new ESPN Wisconsin app, customizable, really cool. If you had the old Wisconsin On Demand app, it's going to be updating automatically. If you have an Apple, if you have an Android, make sure you go in and update it because you're going to want to. You're going to want to go to this. At the Tundra Trio, right next to historic Lambeau Field, you got an opportunity to go check out day three of the draft on us. Just check out the contests tab and register your chance to win with the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Wilde. Joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing well, bud. How are you?
I am great. We got new phones from Verizon as we were promoting our big Road to the Draft event with them. And I have a question for you two.
Okay.
When it comes to headphones, what do you use?
I have
on your phone.
I have the wireless, just the AirPods.
I got the Beats. Not the big old earmuffs. The ones that are small.
The earbuds?
And go in your ear.
Are they wired?
No. Why? Okay. Should they be?
This is what I was afraid of. Because if even Chewy has gone Bluetooth.
Well, here's the problem, Jason. Jason, I guess they make them now that are also hearing aids, and the wife is kind of pushing for me to get those. But I am so anti-hearing aid right now. I think you got to be at least 60, right?
Okay, Chewy, do you actually have anything wrong with your hearing, or is it more of a selective hearing type of issue?
No, I do. I have, 60%, I think, in one ear and then 30 in the other,
which
doesn't meet the threshold, I believe, of having
hearing aids.
That seems hearing aids would be helpful.
You only have 30% hearing in one of your ears?
I got 60 in the other. No.
60%
of it can't hear.
Way to find a silver lining.
Yeah. So
it adds up to 90%. I'm good.
Yeah, it seems fine to me.
I mean, what do you really need to hear anyways, Jason? You know?
Oh, clearly not your wife.
That's a good pop.
Oh, man. See, this is why I love what I do, because what different shows, different personalities, you just never know what might transpire. I would not have known that about your being hard of hearing. And so the reason I ask is because when you used to buy an iPhone, it came with headphones, right?
Yeah, you used the wired headphones, yeah.
And we were overdue for being eligible for an upgrade, and Verizon took great care of us. But now we're up to the iPhone 16, which is very nice.
Oh,
but
the charging port.
But it doesn't come with headphones.
Well, and the charging port's different.
And the charging port is different, yes, which means the headphone plug, if you are an old person like me who prefers wired headphones and does a lot of radio appearances, so I don't want to just be holding my phone out. So I had to order. Apparently, these are so rare, because what kind of an idiot in 2025 wants wired headphones? Other than Aaron Rodgers walking on the beach and me, I had to order them, and they're like $17, which is more than I want to pay for headphones, but they fit the plug, and I'm just wondering if I am a total dinosaur that I want to be wired as opposed to Bluetooth.
All right, Josh.
And it sounds like I am.
Josh, you put it on the poll. What kind of headphones do you use for your phone? Wired or Bluetooth?
The interesting thing here to add a layer to this is it became a cool thing again for young kids to wear wired headphones because they saw so many people like us wearing AirPods that they
It's okay, bucked, you can say it, the olds.
Yeah, they bucked the system and said, we're going back to it. So the wired are actually more hip now than the AirPods.
Really? Huh. Yeah. I've stumbled into being cool. That's amazing.
What? Why do you, Jason, why do you want the wired? What, like, what's the big, like, why
sound
are you so steadfast in the wire?
I don't know. I am a creature of habit. Paula teases me for this all the time. I fear change. I will say this. I've done a few, like, where we're on video and, or like when John Anderson and Trevor do their Inside Wisconsin show, I tried to do it with AirPods and it was just glitchy. I just don't trust them to keep me connected throughout an entire appearance. And so, and while some might argue that would be good news if you guys lost the connection to me, I just don't trust them. So I didn't mean to hijack the segment. I needed some insight from my dudes.
Yeah. Jason, Packers announce a huge signing. John Fitzpatrick.
He is huge.
You know what, though?
He's a very large man.
Is he? But I got to thinking, yeah. I'm like, why would they do this? I they got Kraft, Musgrave, and I like Ben Sims. I think he's a good player. But then it got me thinking, I'm like, are they going to keep more tight ends than we think because they are going to be playing a lot more two tight end sets? Did they kind of tip their hand a little bit?
Yeah, you're a smart dude sometimes. You're exactly right. Like,
what?
They had,
what was that?
Yeah, exactly. They actually, John Fitzpatrick, welcome back to the club of guys that came for pre-draft visits that ended up on the team. He's one of those guys. And he took a circuitous route to the Packers and joined them midway through last season, he was another one of those guys that Goody liked coming out in the draft. They didn't end up getting him then, but that clearly influences the lens that Goody sees players through. So I think you're exactly right. I've been saying this now for several weeks that I think this offense is going to run through Josh Jacobs and the tight ends. And I think while John Fitzpatrick is not nearly as accomplished as, say, Mercedes Lewis, I think he's kind of that guy that might only catch six balls all season if he's on the roster for the entire year. But he goes into the game and you know you can run behind him even if the defense knows what's coming. And he's also that guy that, you know, if you could go into a lab and take Luke Musgrave and John Fitzpatrick and hook them up to some electrodes and they would come out as one player, you'd really have something, right? Because I don't think that they have seen the advancement from Luke Musgrave as a blocker. Obviously last year being on the shelf for 10 weeks was part of the problem, but they need somebody that they can count on besides Tucker Kraft who can block. I agree with you. Ben Sims, another guy who came in for a pre-draft visit, by the way, before that draft, I like his skill set and he's kind of like a, I don't want to call him Jeff Thomason 2.0, but he's kind of like JT was with you because he could do some of the things you would do. He could do some of the things that, you know, Keith Jackson could do. He's not as accomplished in either department, but he could do both. And I kind of feel like that's what Ben Sims is.
Jason, right now the Packers have 8 picks. When they make their selections, which is just, again, 9 days from now, up there in Green Bay, are they going to end up with 8? Are they going to end up with more? Or are they going to end up with less draft picks?
Like prize picks. 10. I'm going to say 10. I think Goody wants to, if Goody can find a way to do it, he always wants to have double-digit picks. And if you listen to the stuff he's saying, like I did my quarterback preview for the draft, and I do it a little bit differently where I like to take kind of stock of where the Packers are at. There's so much great draft content and Dane Brugler and Mel Kiper and all those guys who study it. They do such a great job. So you don't need me telling you, oh, Shedeur Sanders is third on my quarterback board. But when you look at where they're at and the things that Goody is saying, he wants to add a developmental quarterback in every draft. I don't know how you're going to do that with 8 picks, right? And I don't know why you would do that when you can keep developing Sean Clifford and you've got Malik Willis for another year under contract. So when I look at where they're at, he's got so many kind of to-do list items. He said it from the very beginning at the scouting combine. Somebody said, you've got 7 picks right now because the compensatories hadn't come out yet. And he said, well, that's for now. And I don't think there's any question he wants more swings. So I would anticipate him trading back multiple times so he can get to 10. And I will be, I don't know where we're covering the draft from since the normal media auditorium is under construction. It's becoming more storage for the equipment staff. But wherever I'm going to be, if he trades up, especially in the first round, I will fall out of my chair and it'll make for a great social media video.
Jason, is the stadium going to be open for the draft and will people be able to view the draft on the big boards or no?
That's a really good question. This is run by the NFL. It's not technically run by the Packers, which Mark Murphy wanted to make very clear to all of us, because if you're not happy standing in line or something, he doesn't want you to be mad at him. He wants you to be mad at Roger Goodell. But I don't know, like the trickle of information has been, it has not been a fire hose of information, right? And so it's hard to know exactly what people can do. And if you're a fan trying to plan it, like I'm a little bit, you know, I'm focused on, all right, how do I get to the Tundra Trio to do our radio shows and do some TV stuff with Channel 3 in Madison? How do I get into the building to cover the actual selections? Beyond that, like, yeah, it's going to be cool to see all the pomp and circumstance, but I just want to do the job, right? Like, I don't really need to get swept up in it. And if you're a fan coming here, whether it's from out of town or you're coming from Milwaukee or Madison and you don't get to go to games, you want to see the spectacle, I would think you'd want to see that too, right? The tour of the stadium in some way. So I don't have a lot of details on that right now, but I will inquire to get a little more information.
Jason, do they have room for 10 draft picks on the roster? Because I'm at a weird spot where I'm trying to figure this out in my head where, okay, I know that Goody wants a lot of draft picks, but at the same time, they've had the youngest roster in the NFL the last 2 seasons, so a lot of spots are taken. But at the same time, there seem to be some holes they need to fill, not just this year, but next year, so they want to backfill some of those positions. Like, it's an interesting math equation I'm trying to do in my head to try to figure out if they would even have room on the 53-man roster for 10 rookies.
Well, no, you're right. But remember, you got to think of this roster as a 70-man roster, because it's 53 on the active roster. It's 16 on the practice squad. And then they get a bonus guy for the International Player Pathway Program. So you're talking 70 total guys. And especially when you think about where their picks are, right? They've got their own picks in the first 6 rounds, and then they've got 2 seventh rounders. Like Kalen King, for example, right? He was a seventh round pick last year. He spent all of last season on the practice squad. They have moved on from Robert Rochelle the musical, Eric Stokes, and one half of the law firm of Valentine and Ballantyne. So now that's created a spot. You would certainly hope that Kalen King can take one of those. You've got Nate Hobbs, who may be taking Jair's spot if he eventually gets traded. So you've got a couple of spots there, right? If you're wrong about, say, Kadeem Telfort, right, who you've invested 2 years in, kind of like they were, remember that big, gigantic guy, Caleb Jones? He was like 7'6".
Yeah, he was basically Andre the Giant playing football, yes.
Yes, and they carried him for 3 years, and then they finally were like, no, this ain't happening, Captain. And so they moved on from him last year. What I'm saying is maybe Travis Glover showed them enough to say, no, this guy's, he was a 6th round pick last year. There's another spot that opens. I think they are, The one thing that they are all about, and they don't just pay lip service to it, is they make dudes compete. And that's what happens when you have a bunch of young guys. Like, no one gets really comfortable or can get complacent. And so I think they have room if they want to go that far. And again, you look at what's kind of played out. Like last year, I think all but two of their draft picks made the roster, right? And Michael Pratt, the seventh round quarterback, he did not come back to the practice squad. Kalen King did. So they kept 9 out of the 10 in some form or fashion. I agree with you. If they have 10 picks this year, it would be hard for them to keep 8 out of 10 on the 53. But again, maybe they have some other things cooking where they're going to move on from other guys. And one thing Goody, I think, has improved at during his tenure is admitting mistakes by moving on from guys that can't play.
Jason, one last quick one. Is Christian Watson rehabbing in Green Bay, or is he off somewhere else?
I think he's somewhere else. I have not checked in with him. And again, he's, I may be a lonely, what was McCarthy's line during the Super Bowl run? It's lonely sometimes being a warrior.
It's lonely being a warrior sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like when it comes to Christian Watson, like, I kind of feel lonely because I am still all in on him. And I don't think there's many others who are on my team, but I Tausch gives me a hard time for pretending to be a doctor. I just don't see it being realistic that a guy who tears his ACL in the last game of the season, when she shouldn't have been playing in, and I can't believe they had him active just because Romeo Doubs was sick. I don't see him being back till November at the earliest.
Wow.
And so I'm really curious to see. I was talking to somebody who works in the building about him, and I think their hope is they get him back for the final, 6 to 8 weeks of the season, and he's somewhat productive, but he's not in a position to get paid, and they bring him back on a one-year deal that has some incentives in it, and they get a whole nother year of figuring out if he can be the guy that we all kind of hope he can be.
Jason, just so you know, you're not alone. The Carpless Talking text line lighting up with support for you. Larry says for short runs, he uses his AirPods, but long runs, his marathon training, he uses the Wired. Carrie saying, hey, dudes, another old school person here. Love my Wired earbuds. Sam says, Wired works no matter what. You plug them in and bingo. Bluetooth, you have to mess with the settings on your phone, make sure they connect. Also, if you're connected to your vehicle, he said it's just more to worry about. And Ryan said that now that you have a current phone, you can also be on video for your appearances. So, keep that in mind as well. That's some of the feedback we've gotten on the Carbless Talk and text line when it comes to your wired versus wireless headphone debate.
Well, I'm glad Larry and I are on the same page with our marathon training.
Good, Bob. Thanks, Larry.
Thank you, Jason.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Yeah.
Jason Wilde joins us 3 times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. You remember the moments from that magical March in 2015. Frank Kaminsky leading the charge for Bo Ryan and Wisconsin in a run to the championship. Relive it all with Made 'Em Believe. June 26th, join Frank, Sam Decker, Coach Bo Ryan for an intimate night at the Orpheum Theater in Madison to celebrate the 10-year anniversary. Tickets on sale now. UWHoops2015.com. UWHoops2015.com. Made 'Em Believe. June 26th at the Orpheum Theater in Madison, presented by Bud Light, Michelob Ultra, Potosi Varsity Ale, Potosi Hard Seltzer, and M3 Insurance.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
363.
What's that?
Oh, the number of yards they gave up on the ground against the Philadelphia Eagles.
It's a Bible verse, John 3:63. Look it up. Tell us what it
I
says.
I thought it was Joe 3:63, and it was, thou shalt not get past me on the line of scrimmage.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Should I be looking any further into the 17 prospects that agreed to attend the drafts next week in Green Bay? 17 prospects have agreed to show up. 12 of the 20 top-ranked players on the consensus board. Presumed number one pick Cam Ward among that. But when I see only 17, and I guess I don't know how many that it is, compared to years past. But if I see a name like Matthew Golden or Tet McMillan, Am I assuming that guys like that aren't going to be available to the Packers at 23? Or is that just an unfair assumption? Because obviously guys slide. Aaron Rodgers slid famously back in 2005 all the way to the Packers because he was talked about the potential number one overall pick. Instead, that ended up being Alex Smith. He falls to the Packers. But should I be, I mean, the fact that Jalen Milroe's on this list too is weird.
I tell you what, Gabe, after hearing what Jason just said, they might want to think about trading up to get one of them. Because if Christian Watson isn't available until November,
that's a fair assumption, is it not? I mean, he had surgery earlier this year in January. Yeah.
Well, they base it upon Hawkinson, and I think Hawkinson, because his timeline was kind of the same, and I think the ACL injury is a little more important to a receiver than it is a tight end. And Christian Watson, in my estimation, isn't a great route runner to begin with. They better do something, man. You agree? Because this is smelling of Sammy Watkins 2.0. You know, where you sign Sammy Watkins. Oh, it's a name we all know. You know, I feel good. And he did nothing. And I think Hardman's, you know, other than the return.
I'm not expecting.
He's going to give us.
Oh, I'm not expecting Hardman to really play at all offensively.
No.
I'm not. So and Watkins, I was expecting like he was going to get snaps offensively, Chew. I am not expecting that at all out of McCall.
Well, let me
Hardman.
Ask you this, Gabe. Because I believe you said that you believe the DN position is a little more pressing than a receiver position.
Mm-hmm.
If Watson doesn't come back till mid-November, do you still feel that way?
I do, because I feel like you can still put together a decent enough passing game with the tight ends, and I think the offense can be passable. But you just need to figure something. Like, shoot, at least you have guys there like Romeo, like Dontavian Wicks, like Jaden Reed, who've had big games in their career. You know, like I think you can kind of piecemeal that thing together, and hopefully there is another second round receiver that you can grow. Whatever. Like, you got no production out of anyone. You got no consistent production out of anyone on the defensive line. At least Jaden Reed was good for the first half of the season last year before he disappeared.
Yeah.
Like, there is
what I'm concerned about, too, is, and he's probably their most consistent guy in Dobbs, but, man, you have another concussion.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you're talking retirement.
Shoot, do not get me wrong. I am concerned about the wide receiver position.
Yeah.
And as there's still a little bit of toadiness in me where, especially when you get to, you know, the preseason and you get to training camp, I can talk myself into a lot of different things. Somebody has an all-Oneida moment, right? Like, we could talk ourselves as fans into a lot of different things. I am having a very hard time talking myself into anything they currently have along the defensive line based on last year, and also based on it would be harder to talk myself into something if one of them had a really good training camp, because what did we hear all of last training camp about Rashawn Gary?
Mm-hmm.
About how dominant. Oh, man, this is going to be night and day for Rashawn Gary. He's just going to be dominant in this defense.
Yeah.
And what happened? Oh, he set the edge really nice. Cool. Again.
And he's going into year 8 or 7.
Rashawn?
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, I don't know.
Well, either or. You're on you're not on the back slope, but you're certainly on 11.
Yeah, this is year 7. Going to be year 7 for Rashawn.
Because I think you're at your peak 5th, 6th. Just how long the peak lasts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So I do not like what Jason said.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think it would be that long. I thought maybe you were thinking October 1. Maybe you missed 4 or 5
games. That'd be 9 months. Yeah. That'd be 9 months, which is tough.
I mean, he's going to have to. The biggest thing for a receiver with an ACL is getting over the mental part of it, because there's so much putting it in the ground, you know, and that's going to take a while to be able to trust that. So,
I mean, you've got guys that were freaks of nature, like Adrian Peterson, who like recovered in 6 months or whatever he did. That is the exception to the rule I am not expecting, and I don't think anybody should expect, Christian Watson to be ready for the start of the season. I think Jason's timeline, based on, again, he's been around the Packers forever, and how they're going to want to handle this, they're not going to be aggressive.
Yeah. See, I'm pivoting now where I said the past couple weeks that they're going to go interior D lineman. They got to go definitely receiver.
And it all depends
upon... That's my bet.
Depends upon who's there and how the board falls. Again, Matthew Golden makes a ton of sense, but who knows if he's actually going to be there for the Packers.
How many receivers are in that 17 game?
I think it's just the two.
Two?
Yeah, I think it's Tet McMillan and Golden. And Matthew Golden are the two wide receivers. Well, I guess it depends upon what Travis Hunter's on that too, but nobody – whenever you talk receivers, nobody actually puts Travis Hunter there, even though he's probably the best receiver in the draft.
I have to add this. I had someone call during Jason, and they wanted to know if the Packers had the requisite draft capital to go trade up for Travis Hunter.
The answer to that is undoubtedly no.
Well, he's going to play corner anyways because corners, well.
Receivers make more.
Receivers make more than corners? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
It seems like, and it's gone back and forth with him, it seems like right now teams plan to use him as a wide receiver as much as a corner. Like, there's no for sure what he's going to play at this point.
No, he keeps saying he wants to do both. I just think that's, you can get away with it in college, but Chewy, I mean, you've talked about the jump from, you thought it was big, obviously, when you were in college, going from high school to college. It's even bigger going college to pros.
Oh, yeah, because everyone can play.
Just the physicality alone.
Yeah.
Like, of trying to do that just doesn't seem.
I mean, what's he thought of as a receiver, though? He's not really Marvin good. Harrison Jr., is he?
Maybe not, but he's,
he didn't have
I mean,
the greatest rookie year. Yeah.
I think he would be, I mean, some of that's, you know, he's in Arizona. But I think some of that for Travis Hunter is nobody knows what to do with, but he's, to me, he's the best wide receiver in the draft class.
Okay.
And I think he would be.
That's not happening.
No, it is not. They are not going to be able to trade up to number two in order to get Travis Hunter.
No.
It'd be nice, but that's just not going to happen.
Joshy, who's your leader in the clubhouse right now?
You mean who I think they're going
receiver.
To?
Receiver.
Oh, the guy I like the most? I mean, Hunter is far and away the one that you would pick there, but I'm still a Tet McMillan fan.
I need speed, man.
I think he plays a traditional. My favorite guy of all the wide receivers, bar none, is Jaden Higgins. It's just I don't know if he's going to go before the Packers pick in the second round. And I don't know if they would feel comfortable with him in the first round. So he's kind of in that weird area where they'd have to make some movements to even really draft him. But that size-speed combination, for me, I'm going to take a shot on that guy every single time.
Yeah, the lack of explosiveness makes me a little worried about Tet.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of stuff happens. Watching him play versus the way he tested was a little confusing. We see that happen a lot of times. Guys don't perform. They probably add too much weight because they want to look even better. But I'm not out on him by any means.
I mean, look.
In the second.
McMillan would be a first round pick.
Oh, yeah. First. Oh, I thought you were talking.
If he's there at 23 and they draft him, I got to talk myself into him. Yeah.
Yeah. The way I see it going, it sort of seems like the way the guys they've brought in, the edges almost certainly seem to be first rounders, like guys that are without a doubt first rounders. The guys that they've brought in from the wide receiver are sort of those fringe first, but a lot of talk in the second. So it seems like if their preferred option at edge rusher isn't there, they're going to try and move around, which could mean they end up drafting Emeka Buka, whoever, at 23. But if they think they can trade down and still get one of those guys, that to me seems like what they're angling for.
Which is one of Goody's bigger white lies? We don't need a number one receiver, or I'm fine with the D-line we have going into this year because I forget the exact verbiage he used.
I'm fine with whatever that we have.
I don't think that was a white lie. I think that was a flat-out lie.
It was a bold-faced
lie. He's bringing in guys that are like projected top 12, 15 picks.
Yeah. Yeah, he's doing his homework on the pass rush.
He's not just kicking the tires.
He's doing his deep homework on the pass rush. I don't know why, but everyone seems to have lost their minds when it comes to golf. Well, across Lake ESPN Wisconsin. I don't know what's going on. We'll try to solve that problem. Coming up next, Jen Gabichewy.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I mean, this world is geared towards women.
Like, what do we get? I am stepping away from this. Goodbye.
Like, what do we get? They get a comb that dries your hair. We get a stupid razor. Hey, what's the coolest thing we get? They get the hair dryer.
Control.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Just let me cry a little bit.
Look, I understand golf isn't mainstream, right? And we don't talk a ton of golf here. We did a little bit yesterday with Rory McIlroy winning the Masters. We have a golf show, me and Stephen Watson, every Tuesday night, right here, 6 o'clock tonight. We're going to be breaking down all the golf things. But it just seems like we just don't know how to talk about golf. And look, that's fine. We don't have to. But Jim Rutledge, who I've known forever, Chew, I've known Jim, you know, for a long time here at GKB and ESPN Madison. On Jim, Matt, and Molly, here's what he said. He was very complimentary toward me, but this is a very derogatory comment towards golfers, if you ask me.
Because this is my last final take about golf, and it is all disrespectful. Right. But like, all right, let's use Gabe.
And it is disrespectful.
Let's use Gabe Neitzel as an example. Okay. Gabe's a great golfer. We could use Matt, but Matt at least is an Olympic athlete. Gabe, good athlete. Played Division III baseball, yep. NCAA record holder. That I think that if Gabe, and his schedule seems to allow it a little bit, if you told me that Gabe was even, like, when he retired, was able to make a living on the Champions Tour, that I would believe you.
Yeah.
And the fact that you could just basically golf your way into being able to be good at it, if you have the time and money to be able to do it, I think if you have a baseline athletic skill, anyone can do it.
Interesting.
Now, again, not at the Masters level, but to be able to play professionally, I think if Gabe Neitzel took like 2 years off and just spent all his time and money to like get, you know, someone coach him, all that, he could do it. I'm not saying he's winning the Masters, but I think he could have like a professional career.
That's just such a fundamental not understanding of how any of that works.
No, but it goes across the board. It goes, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I tell people, I'm like, you have no idea how hard it is to be a professional athlete. You have no idea.
Like, in any sport.
You have no idea. You know? None. I mean, I love you, Gabe, but you ain't making the Champions Tour. I can tell you.
I'm not sniffing the Champions Tour.
I know guys that are plus two.
Oh, yeah.
And if people don't know what that is, that's really, really, really good. Who couldn't even, they couldn't even play maybe on the Corn Ferry Tour.
No. And by the way, if you're playing the Corn Ferry Tour, that's very hard to make a living. Like, yes. The money isn't big on that minor league tour. Like, you've got to make it to the big one in order to make money, in order to make it worth your while. You're grinding and probably losing money for years just to try to get to the PGA Tour. And once you do that, yes, then you can make some money. But, like, these guys have dedicated their lives to this. There's a great book called Paper Tiger, where a guy actually did this, Chew. A guy for a year. Mm-hmm. Like, and he did it for the book. Like, he moved to Florida, like, away from his fiance at the time, like, and tried to do this. Had one of the best coaches out there, got an equipment deal from Mizuno, and he was not allowed to try to qualify via Q School. Like, they denied him, despite him getting to a plus two, and, like, he grinded, but his tournament results weren't good enough, and even though his, like, coach vouched for him. Like, there are so many people like me out there, Chew, that are decent enough golfers, but aren't, like, anywhere near what it takes to be the professional level.
The margin for error, and it's really small in golf, is like I said, so small.
Yeah.
Even in, well, in NFL football, you can't be 5'11 and play tight end.
Correct. Yes, there are certain.
You have to have a body type.
Yes, at least in golf, there isn't that, like, physical. Yes. You know, like, if you're under 6 foot in the NBA.
Yeah.
Oh boy, do you have to be good.
And a lot of it is your brain, because your brain gets in the way.
Correct.
You know, it's not your tools; it's your brain. It's like, for me, it was being able to process within a half a second what I have to do. There is no time to go, should I take the middle? Or should I just break it off on my own? That has to happen like that. And that's why you have so many guys that run a 4.3 and this and that at the combine that suck and they're busts. Mm-hmm. It's not their athletic ability. It's their brain can't function fast enough. And it's kind of funny for me to say that my brain functioned at one time fast enough.
Well, no. I mean, we give you a hard time about how your brain works. But when it comes to your brain and football, like, you are a football genius. Like, you are...
Genius is very complimentary, but I knew what... Because the older you get, Gabe, your body breaks down, mm-hmm. and you can still continue to play if you're smart and you know the game. That'll get you another 3 years.
But you... I mean, and when Tony Romo first started doing it, when he first came out of the scene as the analyst at CBS, and he started predicting plays...
Yeah.
I sat next to you on a couch during a Super Bowl at Craig's house. Like, you can do that same stuff. Like, oh, okay, this guy's over here. Here's what's going to happen. This is what and, like, you're explaining to me all of this right before the snap is happening, and you're just dead on with all of it. Like, you know all these tendencies. You know all these things. And that's, by the way, watching a Super Bowl where you've been out of the game for 20-plus years, haven't been grinding over film, but you still just know because football is something that you dedicated your life to, and that's and that muscle memory still in there for you.
Well, it's all about realizing what the offense is trying to do to gain an advantage over the defense, and you either get it or you don't, you know.
Again, like, it is incredibly hard to be a professional athlete anywhere.
Yeah,
they dedicate their literal lives to getting to the level in which they are. It's
I think people also underrate, like, Rory McIlroy's swing is not, you could study it and try and do it forever. You're not going to be able to contort your body that way, create as much torque, as much power. Some people are just more gifted than others.
Yeah.
We see it every time we see RAS test comes out. There's nothing you or I could do to be as athletic as these guys. Mm-hmm. Nothing but humanly possible.
But Joshy driving the ball is the small part. It's getting up and down from everywhere.
Right. You have incredible power and then also amazing touch.
Oh, yeah. Just really, really good hands around the green to be able to hit these little nippy spinners. No, it's...
I'm
going to give a little spoil alert here. The top, what are we doing, power ranking?
Whatever.
It's golf related.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I don't think you're going to like it, Gabe. I don't think you're going to like it.
Sugar.
So...
One of Chewy's former teammates joined the Homer Hour. He had some some things that he wanted to say about Jordan Love, comparing him to past Packer greats at that position. We'll talk about that in 2 minutes. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.